afternoon, America, and welcome to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. Thank you for joining me today on this very special Good Friday edition. Good Friday, it might very well be the most sacred holiday on the Christian calendar. I think it's got to be the most sacred. I was thinking about Good Friday in relation to the country. There's no school today. There's no garbage pickup today. There's no banking going on. The banking institutions are closed today. The stock market's closed today. There's no buying and selling of stocks. There's not a government office open. The post is not being delivered. No mail. No post on Good Friday. The post office is shut down. But yet, it's a government holiday, but yet it's a Christian holiday. How can that be? If there is a true separation of church and state, how is it that the government is allowed to literally shut down on Good Friday in celebration of the most important day? Outside of the birth of Christ on Christmas, this is the most important day. Maybe outside of Resurrection Sunday, I mean, all three, I guess you can debate. If there isn't a birth, there isn't a resurrection. If there isn't a Good Friday, there isn't a resurrection. I'm not interested in having that debate, but it's definitely one of the most important sacred days to all of Christianity. Why is the government shut down today? If there is truly a separation of church and state, if truly we are not a Christian nation, why is our government shut down? Why is our stock market closed? Why are the banks closed? Why is there no garbage pickup? It's a government holiday because we're a Christian nation. That's my premise. That's my argument. Now, I have done this in the past, and I could today. I'm not going to, but I could. I could go through the court cases early in our founding where the Supreme Court declared we're a Christian nation. I could pull up, which I've done in the past. I'm not going to today, but I could pull up records from the House and from the Senate where declarations have been made where we are a Christian nation. Early on in this country during Jefferson's administration, when Jefferson was fighting a war against the Muslim Barbary pirates, and their rationale, the pirates' rationale, the Muslim country's rationale was that we were a Christian nation. It's because we are, friends. We are a Christian nation. We were founded as a Christian nation. We always will be a Christian nation unless the left has their way. Unless the Marxist progressive left have their way. And they have been driving God and Christianity from public memory for decades, for over a century. I'll just put that out there. This has been going on for over a century where they've been attempting to push God out of the memory of the citizenry of this country. And I'm here to tell you that we need to have the memory of God come back. I'm reminded of a speech Clarence Thomas gave. This was in October of 2019. He was here in Michigan at Hillsdale College. He was dedicating the Christ Chapel, which was the brand new chapel that Hillsdale was building on their campus. And his comments that day are potent, and I think we need to be reminded of them. And if you want to go to Hillsdale and you can find his speech in there in Primus tab, just go to Hillsdale, go to their website. I think Imprimis is one of the tabs, and you can pull up the speech in its entirety. It was the Imprimis. I don't know what month it came out, but the title of it is called Faith and Reason Are Mutually Reinforcing. And again, he gave the speech in October of 2019, so it's probably going to be shortly after in the Imprimis list. And I just want to quote a few excerpts from that speech. He said, "The primary purpose of a chapel is to provide a place where man can enter the presence of God. It provides a sanctuary in which man can withdraw from the chaos of our world and seek a sacred stillness." He said, "Beginning in the early 1900s, many elite private colleges and universities began to face questions about the continuing relevance of religious instruction on campus. These questions would have surprised the founders of those schools, many of which were created in part for the express purpose of providing religious instruction, which we've talked about, we've covered at length. We've talked about the history of Harvard and Yale, Princeton, and we know the purposes of these universities. We know the purposes of their founding." And Clarence Thomas is correct. The fact that these universities are facing questions about the relevance of religious instruction on campus would have completely shocked the founders of those schools. Thomas continues, "But as time went on, and as schools moved away from their religious roots, the relevance of religion to higher education was increasingly questioned, and campus chapels in particular came to be viewed as relics of a bygone era. Our country was founded on the view that a correct understanding of the nature of God and the human person is critical to preserving the liberty that we so enjoy." John Adams wrote, and again, I'm still quoting from Clarence Thomas. John Adams wrote, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Adams recognized that the preservation of liberty is not guaranteed without the guardrails supplied by religious conviction. Popular sovereignty can devolve into mob rule, unmoored from any conception of objective truth. And here's the last part that I'll quote from Thomas. "Each generation is responsible both to itself and to succeeding generations for preserving and promoting the blessings of liberty. Faith in God, more than anything else, fuels the strength of character and self-discipline needed to discharge ably that responsibility." End of Thomas' quote here at the dedication of Christ Chapel on the campus of Hillsdale. Thomas is right that, this country, in the words of Adams, our Constitution was made only for a moral and a religious people. People that govern themselves must have some guardrails. And Thomas says that these guardrails for us, for Americans, are supplied by religious conviction. There's a conviction, there's a religious conviction. The Ten Commandments are important. Thou shalt not steal. It's one of the commandments. And for decades, for centuries, there was this conviction in us that we shouldn't go and steal. We shouldn't go to the store and take a candy bar. We shouldn't take a Pepsi. We shouldn't try to smuggle things out of the store. We were taught this as kids. But over the last few years, I mean, you've watched the videos. You see what's happening in these big cities, San Francisco, LA, people just going in and smash and grab. I mean, just going in with a cart, just filling it up with meat and leaving. And we're appalled that the police and these cities don't do anything about it. But what's more appalling is there is no conviction in the heart of the person that's doing the thievery. There's no moral absolute in this person that says stealing is wrong. And it's just the same. You can go down all the commandments from murder. You have something as heavy as murder to something as what people would consider, it's no big deal. It's just a white lie. So from lying to murder, it's in there. And it's in there as a foundational basis for morality. It's a biblical morality. When people hear the phrase biblical morality, they may think, oh, it's just about, sexual things. You have to abstain from immoral sexuality. Well, that's part of it. Yes, but that's not all of it. Biblical morality covers the gamut. And it's listed in the Ten Commandments. It's the foundation. And so when John Adams says our Constitution was made only for a moral and a religious people, he's talking about people that have a conscience because we are to govern ourselves. Our Constitution was written for a people that will govern themselves. And Adams' contention is you can't govern yourself unless you have a religious and a moral guardrail that's going to keep you on the straight and narrow. If you're driving in the mountains and you're back on, you're driving on those switchbacks, the road goes back and forth. And if there isn't a guardrail there to stop you from going over the edge, you're in trouble. I mean, you could be in trouble if you slip and slide out of control. The point of the guardrail is to keep you on the path. And Clarence Thomas, in his speech here, specifically says, without the guardrail supplied by religious conviction, then popular sovereignty can devolve into mob rule, unmoored by any conception of objective truth. And as a country, that's where we find ourselves. We find ourselves being unmoored from any conception of truth that would be objective. Truth is now a subjective thing. It's my truth. I mean, my truth is that I can be whatever gender I want to be. My truth is, and then you fill in the blank. That is the complete opposite of what the country was founded on. It's the complete opposite of where we began. So we began as a Christian nation. I mean, we are still a Christian nation, as proved by the fact that government offices are closed today. And one of the most holy Christian holidays that exist, government is closed. No activity. Same for Christmas. If Christmas falls on any day of the week, government offices are closed. Do you know that the Constitution specifically says that there's no work to be done on Sundays? That's the Sunday exception clause. Why? Why did they say that on Sundays? Why not Wednesday? Why not Friday? Why not Saturday? Sunday is the Christian Sabbath. They didn't choose Friday, which is historically the Muslim Sabbath. I don't think they use the word Sabbath. They didn't choose Saturday, which is historically the Jewish Sabbath. No, Sunday is historically the Christian Sabbath. And in our Constitution, friends, there's a Sunday exception clause. There's no work on Sunday. And the reason is because we were founded in the minds of our founders as a Christian nation. The First Amendment, which says that the government, Congress, cannot establish a religion, means that the government cannot establish a one particular Christian denomination over another. We're a Christian nation. Our religion as a nation, guess what? It's Christian. But the government cannot establish one religion, and they use the word religion interchangeably with the word denomination. And you can go and read it. You can read it in the debates. And I've covered it here on the show. At length, I've covered it. We are a Christian nation. Congress is not able to establish a particular denomination over another. The denominations kind of bicker, back and forth. And that's the way it's always been, and it's probably the way it'll always be. And Jesus, in John chapter 17, he prayed for unity. And we're working on it. We're trying to get there. I'm trying to get there. We're all trying to get there. We're all trying to, with each other, we're trying to enter into this place of being unified. And we blow it sometimes. I blow it especially. Matter of fact, I blew it today. I'm not going to talk about it though. No, it wasn't today. I blew it yesterday. I'm not going to talk about it. It's too embarrassing, but I blew it. We're going to blow it, but there's things that we're striving for. I believe ultimately we're striving for unity. And it's going to take a minute for us to get there, but Jesus wanted us to get there. He envisioned that we would get there, and that's what today is all about. That's what the death of Christ is all about. It's all about the salvation of mankind, and the fact that he rose again on Resurrection Sunday allows us, as Paul said, to walk in that newness of life. We are a Christian nation. My point here is that we are a Christian nation. There is a movement afoot, and has been for decades, to turn us away from being a Christian nation. And some would say that movement has been successful. I would say that. I would say it's been very successful. The successes began in the 1960s when they were able to remove prayer and the Bible from public education. The day that those two things happened, then they started realizing some success. And the long game began to pay off. And at that point, once an education of Christianity was removed from public schools, the long game could truly begin. At that point, then they could begin what they referred to as their long march through the institutions, because they would then begin educating children in a different worldview. Kids would begin to now come out of public school with a different mindset, and they would then take that mindset with them into the business community, into the scientific community, into politics, into arts, into entertainment. They would begin to take that viewpoint with them into church, and then churches would begin to change. We watched it. We've watched it unfold. For decades, we've watched particular denominations start to veer away, start to slide away, start to turn away from things that the denominations used to believe. And it began, I'm not going to say it began, the successes began to be noticed in the 1960s. And so here we are, 2024. I'm surprised that it's not come up. I'm surprised somebody hasn't brought it up that the government should not be closing down on Good Friday and Christmas and other Christian holidays. It's going to happen. Somebody, some leftist, some Marxist, mark my words, here's my prediction right now. Some Marxist very soon is going to say, yeah, I mean, separation of church and state, should the government actually even be open or be closed on Good Friday? Shouldn't it be open? Going to happen. But the fact that it's closed, my friends, tells me one thing. It tells me we're a Christian nation. And it is, I think we as Christians, those of us who are Christians, I think we can unashamedly say we need to go back to our Christian roots as a nation. And the left, holy cow, the media, they would start screaming, what Christian nationalist? You're a Christian nationalist. I've got an article here where Trump spoke at the a National Religious Broadcasters Convention. This speech was back in February. I think it was in Nashville. And this article is, they don't refer to Trump as a Christian nationalist, but it's not painted in a very pleasant light. It just isn't. It's from an organization called what this I think Religion Times, Religion something. And it's just, it's not, they're not painting him very well. Why? Because in the article, he talks about Christianity. In his speech, he talks about Christianity. He talks about the country going back to Christianity. Matter of fact, he posted something just this week, Holy Week. He posted something on Instagram, and it's powerful. It's a powerful clip. I'm going to play it for you, but you know what? I'm up against the break. We will pick this clip up on the other side. Let's pause here for a moment. You're listening to the Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Spike proteins help viruses enter into your cells, disrupting your health and your well-being. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body of spike proteins, which allows your body to repair from within, supporting your immune and respiratory systems and regulating your inflammatory response. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to americaoutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to americaoutloud.shop. That's americaoutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. You can find us here Monday through Friday at the 2 p.m. Eastern time slot. And no matter how you're listening, we're happy that you are. Thank you for being on board and congratulations for being one of the smart ones. Because America Out Loud is a rising voice in the new media, and it's where smart people go to get their news and information. I don't know if you were aware of that, but it's true. It's where smart people go to get their news and information. So congratulations on being one of the smart ones. If you're listening, obviously you're a smart one. So congratulations. Today we're talking about, it's a Good Friday special segment. And in my opinion, Good Friday proves the actions of today, the actions of Good Friday prove America is a Christian nation. Go ahead, try to go to the bank. Is it open? It's not. Go ahead, get on your app. Get on Thinkorswim right now and try to sell some shares of something. Can't do it because the stock market's closed. Yep. Go to the post office and try to go inside and mail a letter. Not going to happen. Go to the courthouse today. Not going to happen. The federal government is shut down today because it's a Christian holiday. And therefore, kids, therefore, This is a Christian nation. That's my argument. That is my premise. Do we need to get back to the roots of that Christianity? Absolutely, we do, because we have been, in the words of Clarence Thomas, where is that? Let me pull up. I quoted in the first segment a speech he gave a couple of years ago in 2019 at the dedication of Christ Chapel on the campus of Hillsdale. Thomas is talking about this quote from John Adams, and he says, Adams says, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And then Thomas adds to that, and he says, without guardrails supplied by religious conviction, popular sovereignty can devolve into mob rule, unmoored from any conception of objective truth. And today, friends, that's where we find ourselves. As a country, we find ourselves being unmoored from any conception of objective truth. So Trump gave a speech. It wasn't a public speech where he's in front of an audience. He gives these video addresses from time to time. And he posted this on Instagram this week. And he talks about this very thing. He doesn't use the phrase unmoored from any conception of objective truth, but that's what he's referring to. And in this speech, he's saying, we've got to get back. We've got to get back to where we once were. It's kind of a cool speech. He's promoting Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA Bible. I didn't hear anything about it up until this point. I guess Lee Greenwood is part of the publishing of this Bible, God Bless the USA Bible. Not only is it a King James Bible, but it has the Constitution, the Declaration, the Bill of Rights. You know, Trump goes through his presentation of it, and he talks about the original founding documents that are included in this Bible. It's pretty cool, I think. I'd like to get my hands on it. But let's pause for a second, and let's listen to Trump's comments about us getting back, really, to becoming the Christian nation that we once were.
Religion and Christianity are the biggest things missing from this country. And I truly believe that we need to bring them back, and we have to bring them back fast. I think it's one of the biggest problems we have. That's why our country is going haywire. We've lost religion in our country. Our founding fathers did a tremendous thing when they built America on Judeo-Christian values. Now that foundation is under attack, perhaps as never before. What can we do? Stand up, speak out, and pray that God will bless America again.
He said our founding fathers built America on Judeo-Christian values, which is 100% true. And he said religion and Christianity are the biggest things missing from this country. When you build something on a foundation and then you pull that foundation out from under what you've built, then what's been built is going to collapse and crumble. Trump says it's one of the biggest problems we have. It's why our country is going haywire. Yeah, when you take away the foundation, it is one of the biggest problems. And our founding fathers did build America on Judeo-Christian values. And people don't even know what Judeo-Christian values are anymore. So a few years ago, I think this was before COVID, I had on the school website at Waterbrook, I had some type of language there right on the homepage, right, you know, big front and center, that we are a school which supports Judeo-Christian values. And I had a prospective parent call. And she asked, what exactly are Judeo? What do you mean by Judeo-Christian? Is this a different kind of Christianity that I'm unfamiliar with? She was not familiar with the term Judeo-Christian values. Had no idea what it meant. Had never heard it. And we used to hear this all the time. It is the values that come from the Bible, the Old Testament being Judaism, and the New Testament being Christianity. Judeo-Christian values are the values of the Bible. And it's the values that the country was founded on. It is the bedrock of society. The morality, as Adams said, the Constitution was made only for a moral and a religious people. This is who we are as Americans. This is our makeup. But if you say that now today, if you make reference to Christianity today, you're a Christian nationalist. You're somebody who wants Christianity to rule the nation with an iron thumb. And you're somebody who wants to proselytize the entire country. Well, that wasn't the point of the founders. The country was welcome to anybody. Anybody who wanted to come, they could come. But they came with the understanding that the country itself was a Christian nation. And the laws and principles were founded indeed on Christianity. The establishment of government is founded on Christian principles. And again, I've covered this at length. Maybe I need to do it again. Trump's point is that we have, he's making the point that Clarence Thomas made, only Trump's going to word it differently. I mean, Thomas is more, you know, he's eloquent. Trump is, you know, I'm going to speak from the hip. Where Thomas says we're unmoored from any conception of objective truth, Trump says religion and Christianity are the biggest things missing from this country. It's one of the biggest problems. It's why our country's going haywire, because we have to get back. We have to go back. And in our going back, in our getting back there, people are upset. They're absolutely upset about it. Listen, I've got a clip, and you've probably seen this clip. This Tucker Carlson posted this a few days ago. So the clip that I'm going to play for you is directly off of his Instagram page. So there's some background music, you know, during the interview. But Tucker is talking to Paul Vaughn. Paul Vaughn is currently facing 11 years. He's looking at 11 years in prison for praying at an abortion clinic. Not for robbing a convenience store in LA or San Francisco, or, you know, going to Macy's and smashing and grabbing hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of clothing, or, you know, probably thousands of dollars worth of clothing. No, he was praying at an abortion clinic. And perhaps his prayers offended somebody. I don't know. But this Justice Department went after him. And now he's facing 11 years. But I want you to listen to, it's a short clip. I want you to hear Tucker's response at the end.
Facing 11 years in prison for praying and singing hymns in an abortion clinic. Is that correct?
Absolutely correct.
But FBI agents in body armor with rifles drawn at you. Do you have any history of violence?
No.
How do you feel about the prospect of going to jail for praying?
They talk about taking 10 years of my life, potentially. And the reality as a Christian is I've already laid my life down. I fully believe and understand that God is leading me, and that we're here today because of events that are in his control. And if you look at the New Testament, a good majority of the scripture was written from jail. And so if he wants me to go to jail and minister, I'm in his hands.
This is why they're afraid of you. Right there. That's why they're afraid of you.
I love Tucker because he says it like, just like he thinks it. Yeah, this is why they're afraid of you. That right there. That's why they're afraid of you. What he means to say is the left, the Marxists are afraid of Christianity because Christians are willing to die for something. Now, I don't think that Paul Vaughn hopes to die. Okay, that's not the point. But you heard him say it. Hey, if I need to go to prison, I'll go to prison. If that's what needs to happen. Most of the New Testament was written from prison. I'll go there. I'll minister there if that's where I'm supposed to be. He's not someone who can be bought. He is governed by his principles. And this is the point of Christianity, that Christians would be governed by their principles. I can't say that all Christians are. I can't say that all Christians would respond the way Paul Vaughn is responding. But those Christians that will respond this way, those Christians that are driven and do have these moral guide rails, as Thomas said, the Christians that can't be bought, Tucker's right. These people are feared. And this is why the Marxists, the leftists, the progressives that are currently in charge are afraid of them. This is it right here. And this is why they don't want us to talk about it. This is why they don't want us to talk about going back to our roots, about becoming a Christian nation. This is why they are endeavoring to rewrite history so people forget. So students going through public education will not know the truth of history. They will not know and understand that we were founded as a Christian nation. And so there is no, shouldn't say there's no opportunity for us to go back and revert. There's less of a chance for a generation to want to go back to something that they don't know even existed. This is the point, my friends. This is why education has been under such a heavy assault. This is why there's been such a heavy movement to separate parents from children, especially as of late, to go after parental rights. This is it right here. But the good news is, and the reason why, even amidst all this chaos, I say we're winning, is because parents, their eyes are open to it. Your eyes are opening. That's why you're listening to America Out Loud. That's why the audience for America Out Loud continues to grow constantly. The pace of growth for AmericaOutloud.news is massive because eyes are opening. And people that listen to America Out Loud, they share it with other people, and who they then share it. I have shared, you know, posts from America Out Loud, and I've gotten replies back like, holy cow, I'm going to share this with everybody. And that news is, it's moving like wildfire. Wildfire just goes. You can't stop it. You can't stop wildfire. And that's what happens when truth hits the airwaves. That's what happens when people catch on to truth and they find a network like this, like Tucker, somebody who's going to deliver truth to them. They're going to pay attention and they're going to share it. And it's going to go. It's just going to go. And you can't stop it. And in Tucker's words, the government is afraid of that. They're afraid of that truth being unleashed. They don't want it to happen. Can't do it. Do not get that truth out there. Whatever you do, that just can't. Don't do it. I'm looking at an article here that I think dovetails nicely with it. It's called "Students Are Graduating from Universities Without an Understanding of Their Own Country." And it's on purpose. It's that way on purpose. It was an op-ed in the Washington Times written by Donald Sweeting, who I think is the chancellor. Maybe he's the president of Colorado Christian University. Donald Sweeting, I think he's the president, one of those positions. Don't quote me. All right, I'm up against the break. I don't have time to really dive into this article and treat it properly before the break. So let's pause here and we'll pick this up on the other side. You're listening to The Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back to the Dean's List and our Good Friday edition. It is our special Good Friday edition, wherein I believe we are proving America is a Christian nation. I think today's existence alone proves it, the fact that government offices are shut down. How in the world can your government offices be shut down on a holiday that is a Christian holiday and the government not be closing in recognition of that Christian holiday? I don't think government offices close down for Muslim holidays in this country. I don't think they close down for Jewish holidays. They do close down for Christian holidays. What does that tell you? That tells you that separation of church and state is a myth. That's what it tells you. That's what it tells me anyway. But we don't know this. We don't have a history. I bet we have students graduating from K-12 and from colleges today who do not know that in the Constitution there's a Sunday exception clause, which in the document itself, it says we are a Christian nation. Now, it doesn't say that verbatim, but the fact that the document says we're not doing any work on Sundays because it's recognizable as the Christian Sabbath. That's why. Okay, the document doesn't say that. The document says we're not doing any work on Sundays. The rest is inferred. We come to the conclusion. We know why they did it. Because it's the Christian Sabbath and this is a Christian nation. But I promise you kids don't know that. And this article written by Donald Sweeting, which I referred to at the end of the last segment, gets into that very thing. He says, in the past 5 months, it's become apparent to the general public that something is radically wrong with our colleges and universities. In the last 5 months, yes, it's become apparent since October. Although those of us that have been paying attention, and I'm sure Mr. Sweeting is among that group, we know that this has been, that there's been a problem. We've seen it for a long time now. All kinds of reforms are being proposed to fix the higher education mess, Sweeting says, from appointing new presidents to dismantling DEI bureaucracy. So we've seen that. New presidents at Harvard, at Penn. We now see what DeSantis is doing in Florida, dismantling DEI bureaucracies. But many of these changes, Sweeting says, are merely cosmetic. And he's not wrong. He's not wrong. And we've talked about this. Changing a president, it's cosmetic. Because the boards of those universities still believe the way that they believe. And they're going to bring someone else into that position to believe the way that they believe. So It's cosmetic. Sweeting says the problem in higher education involves not just what students are being taught, as in these DEI bureaucracy chambers, but what they are not being taught. And I think he hits the nail on the head. He really does. The problem isn't, and it is, the problem is what they're being taught, but it's even more so what they're not being taught. So how do we fix it? He asks this question. He says one desperately needed reform is reconstituting a required robust core curriculum. So his whole premise is going back to a core curriculum, one that we used to teach from. He says students need a basic literacy in subjects like U.S. government and history. They're not getting that now. There is not a basic literacy in U.S. history or government. He says they need a basic literacy in English composition and literature, and economics and math and natural sciences and language. Students graduate from our best schools not understanding their own country or the history of their civilization. They lack basic literacy in core subjects. They lack a basic understanding of our nation's founding principles and graduate ill-equipped students for citizenship. We failed to teach them things that they should never forget. The damaging ideologies of the 20th century, the Holocaust. Do they remember that? No, because we don't teach it, and we allow students to opt out from teaching it. We don't let them opt out, by the way, from LGBT curriculum. No, they've got to be a part of that if you live in Maryland. But if you're in Montgomery County, Maryland, and just over the border, if you're in Fairfax County, Virginia, well, you can opt out of Holocaust lessons. We've also taught them things that they should never forget in terms of our nation's and the West's Judeo-Christian heritage. Many graduate with massive gaps in essential cultural and historical knowledge. These are Sweeting's words, and he's spot on. He says a robust core curriculum brings much needed coherence to their course of study. As higher education stands now, there is little to no unifying principle for students' learning. We've truly created diversities and not universities. His play on words there is nice. There's no fixed system of knowledge. It's not cohesive. It's all fragmented. A classical curriculum, mind you, works at being cohesive, not fragmented. It works at tying everything together. This is why I promote a classical education. And more specifically, a classical Christian education, because Judeo-Christian values are what gave the country its foundation. It's important to have a classical Christian education. Now, that doesn't mean that we want to proselytize your kids and that they all need to, be baptized and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Would we like that? Sure. But that doesn't have to happen. It doesn't, that's not the objective. I shouldn't say that's not the objective. It's not the objective in terms of education. Education is laying this moral foundation. I mean, we want them to be saved. We want them to come to the knowledge of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But that's not the point. You can come and learn the morality and still be Jewish. You can learn the morality and still be Muslim. A strong core curriculum, Sweetie says, will better prepare students for a multi-job career. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the average American worker will hold 10 jobs before they are 40. This number is expected to grow to 15 jobs in a lifetime career. If students only specialize and do not get a strong general education base, they will be unprepared for a fast-changing, dynamic global marketplace. And this is the point of a liberal education, not liberal in the political sense, but liberal in the well-rounded sense. And this is what a classical Christian education strives for. It strives for a well-rounded liberal education. He continues, a strong general education program also guards against reductionism. There's a tendency in academics to reduce our knowledge to one discipline, i.e. that everything is economics or everything is psychology or everything is whatever, fill in the blank, race, mostly nowadays. Students need a comprehensive, multidisciplinary perspective. A robust core curriculum exposes students to the big questions and traditional wisdoms. They will learn about what it means to be human. They will be exposed to great thinkers, great books, and the great conversations that shaped our civilization. But the left can't have this. No, the left needs us to be narrow-focused, narrow-minded. We got to have the blinders on. And, you know, everything has to be based on race. Everything has to be judged on race. I mean, that's all, you know, that's the only thing we really need to be focused on. But a robust curriculum, Sweetie says, promotes critical thinking and effective communication. It promotes our ability to think critically about things that are going on. In so doing, it will guard against the common forms of propaganda we have seen on campuses. If students are able to think critically, then now they have weaponry at their disposal to ward off propaganda. The pushing of these utopian schemes, you know, socialism is going to be great for everybody. Well, in a well-rounded education, students learn about the history of things. They learn about the history of socialism. They would know and understand, no, it's not going to be great for everybody. We would see and we would be able to push back against anti-racist catechisms or the progressive chronological snobbery and the endless use of ideological catchphrases and smears to shut down discussion. A strong, robust core curriculum can train young minds to think, reason, and discuss civility. This article goes on. I don't have enough time to get into it, but the point is we've got to go back. We've got to get back to Christian roots and a Christian heritage. Well, today's Good Friday. And in my house, there is a Good Friday tradition. And it involves this clip that we found one day. I'm going to play it for you. It's from a minister by the name of S.M. Lockbridge. And you're going to love it. And we just play it every Good Friday. Matter of fact, Joshua, who he doesn't live at home anymore, but you know, Cindy will probably send him this text at some point today. She probably already has. And it's this clip. And the clip is called It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And it's about, I don't know, it's a little over 3 minutes. I'm going to play it for you here at the end. And I think you're going to like it. I think you're going to enjoy it. You know, it's symbolic of where we are as a country right now. It feels like it's Friday in the Christian religious sense of things. It feels like it's Friday. But friends, Sunday is coming. There's a Sunday that's a coming. It's and when it gets here, it's going to be glorious because on Resurrection Sunday, things changed. Things changed. And I believe that's where we are as a country. I think it's Friday. But I think things are going to change. I think Sunday's coming. I think the eyes of people are waking up. I think they're noticing, oh boy, we're in trouble here. Something needs to happen. Something needs to change. And Tucker's right. This is what they're afraid of. This is what the Marxist left is afraid of. All right, I'm going to play this clip for you, S.M. Lockbridge. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Enjoy.
It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's asleeping. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sundays are coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary. His blood dripping. His body stumbling. And his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning. And evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross. Feeling forsaken by his father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, the earth trembles, the sky grows dark, my king yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered. And Satan's just a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard. And a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a coming.
Oh, I just love that. You find it on the internet, SM Lockbridge. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. That's the truth, absolutely the truth. Well, have a fantastic Good Friday today. If you're a believer, even if you're not, have a wonderful Good Friday and have a beautiful Resurrection Sunday. We will talk to you on Monday. Thank you for joining us. Encourage your friends and family to get on the Dean's List. Let's unite to renovate the age.